reading today is from Matthew 22, verse 1 to 14. The parable of the wedding banquet. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who has prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with the guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Catherine. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this experience that you're really, really enthusiastic about something. Can you think of something or someone that you're so passionate about? It could be a book, could be a film, could be a friend, could be a sporting event. Just think of something. And have you ever had this experience when you've tried to describe it to somebody else? Like, for example, the Cricket World Cup final last year. It was amazing. A super over at the end. England win by one run. Just fantastic. And have you ever had that experience where you share your enthusiasm and it's like talking to a church of masks and people think, it's just so deflating. Do you know what I mean? I was going to, in my original version of this talk, I was going to use the example of my wife when I told her about the Cricket World Cup final, England against New Zealand, super over, just winning. And I realised I couldn't use that because she, 34 years in this country, she's Austrian, she's equally enthusiastic. Isn't it great to meet someone who shares your enthusiasm? Do you know what I mean? If you do, just give me a nod. It can be imperceptible. Yeah. God knows, he really does, what it's like to when the wave of enthusiasm you have is quenched by the wall of indifference. God knows. And the story which we've just heard from Catherine is about two groups of people. God is the passionate host. He is hospitable to the nth degree. He's generous to the extent of giving his son. And Jesus tells this story about the hospitality of God. There are a lot of stories Jesus tells about this. And in every story, Jesus holds up a mirror. So he's holding up a mirror in the story to you. And the story becomes more compelling when you look. So you've got to look hard in this story. If you've got a Bible, it could help you. But just hold it in your head anyway. The story of two groups of people, and you and I, we're one of them. We can be both on the same day. One group who are like the people who just say, whatever, I haven't really got the time, who are doing what you could be doing right now behind your masks, who knows? Really? Come to my wedding banquet. My son's getting married. I've killed the fatted calf. It's going to be brilliant. I'm so excited. And the first group go, really? Oh, whatever. Sorry, I haven't actually got the time. Could be like that. Sometimes to be honest, I think is how we get with the things of God. Or are we in the second group? They have one qualification, the second lot who are invited. Their enthusiasm might be as small as a mustard seed, but it's enough for them to come and turn up and show up. So I'm going to ask us two questions, and taking the same step of faith as Jenny, I'm going to invite you to share in a couple of minutes' time. What actually tires you out when it comes to the amazing grace of Jesus? But actually, there are days, I think it's part of being in the human race, when somehow we've lost our enthusiasm. A word from two Greek words, entheos, which means in God. God is enthusiastic, no deeper than that English word. He is passionate about you, and his passion extends to inviting you every day afresh to his presence, to his generosity, to his amazing grace. The picture he gives here in this story is of a wedding banquet, to his joy that he shares in the Trinity as the Father, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And some days, well, I'm just too tired or whatever, I say, really? What sort of things make you feel like that? And secondly, I'm going to ask, if you've got any ideas, what are the sort of things that actually reignites your passion, your enthusiasm? God says to the church of Ephesus, it's in Revelation 2, verse 4, get back to your first love for Jesus. Why does he say that? Because you've lost it. He says to another one of the early churches, this time in Ephesus, it's in Revelation chapter 3, you are lukewarm, chapter 3, verse 16, for God's sake, don't be like that. So here's the mirror of Jesus' story. Do we find ourselves reflected in the first lot of those invited? So if you've got the story in your head, the king sends out the servants, but they refused, it says. They refused to come, verse 3. But because the king is hospitable to an extraordinary degree, he makes a charitable assumption and he invites them a second time. He's inviting you. He's inviting me. He's the hound of heaven. He never gives up knocking on our door. No, come, maybe you misunderstood the first time. Verse 4, I've prepared the dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered. Come along. And what happens to the enthusiasm of the servants? Well, one's too busy. He's got his business to go to. Another's got to go to his fields. Some are even angry and threaten violence against the servants. Some actually perpetrate a violence on the servants. As though the king was asking the guests for a favor. Question, do we ever get like that? I think we do. We can be like disciples who fall asleep when Jesus in the flesh invites them to just stick with him. We can be like the church in Ephesus who lose our first love, or the church in Laodicea getting lukewarm. I've been a vicar for 28 years. And I've sung Amazing Grace and other great worship songs for longer than that. It doesn't mean my heart is always captured and my breath taken away by Amazing Grace. Like somebody who doesn't understand cricket, who says at the end of the World Cup final, seems a bit of a boring game to me. You know, we all get like that with enthusiasms. We don't understand. Do you know what I mean? God knows what I mean. And God knows that he experiences a lot of that, but with a mustard seed of enthusiasm, he can start a journey leading us in to his passion. So here's the question. There could be a pause for this. I was at a Quaker wedding yesterday. Now, Quakers are good at pausing. I can't pause as long as Quakers do, but I'll give it about 30 seconds. But ask yourself this question. What drains you of your love for Jesus? Before I wait for 30 seconds for your answer, here's one thing that I find every day sort of makes me lukewarm, hard-hearted, losing my first love. One thing is the same thing as the first lot who are invited here. I've got a lot of stuff to do. One went to his field, another to his business. I've got some days a lot of business. And I really can't fit in a wedding banquet as well. And Thomas Merton, who was a monk in the last century, a writer, this is what he called hurry or busyness. He described it as a pervasive form of contemporary violence. See, I can't be still and know that he's God and even start to share his enthusiasm for me and his passion for me if I'm in a hurry. Any of you got any ideas that you can either think in your thoughts or just say in a word or a sentence about what sort of drains you of your enthusiasm for the things of Jesus? Thank you. Sorry, Asha, what was that? Overcomplication. Thank you. Yeah, I think I know what you mean. Could you just unpack that, Abby? I think I know what you mean. When things get cancelled.
In the lockdown, we've had so many ideas. Well, we can do this, we can do this, we can do this. And then new restrictions come in. Or restrictions lift, and the things we just planned. We're not going to do that now, we're going to do this. And the chopping and changing of all of it. Sometimes you made it feel a bit draining instead of feeling excited.
Yeah.
What's the point of planning anything when we don't know what's going to happen next week?
Yeah, that's true. Disappointment, yeah. I've heard even weddings can get cancelled.
Yeah,
but then they can be reinstated. Yeah. Anything else? When expectations are, sorry, Ruth, what did you say? Yeah, the expectations of others. There's a lot of things. Jonathan, would you put up the first slide? I could have mentioned it before. You see, it's one pigeon saying to another, what is the opposite of half-hearted? And all of these things are the opposite of half-hearted is who God is. Lively, enthusiastic, interested, warm, determined. All these things you've thought and mentioned can take us out of, as it were, the flow of God's Spirit that he wants to fill us with every day afresh. Is this a mirror for you and for me? Jesus is telling this story to who? You just go back two verses. Before this story, he's told three other stories. We're in those ones as well. And they're directed to this audience. It's in Matthew 21, verse 23. The chief priests and elders. And now Jesus is speaking, verse 1, to them again. They're the equivalent, first century equivalent, of people who have been kind of like a vicar for 28 years or longer. Or maybe like you, who've sung Amazing Grace quite a lot of times. They're very religious, but they've lost their first love and don't even recognize Jesus before them. But maybe you and I, we can find ourselves in the second group. As the first lot of guests were indifferent, maybe even angry with the invitation from the King of Amazing Hospitality, the second group are different. What's their qualification? Well, all they've got is one. All they do is say yes. they turn up. In Luke's story, telling of this story, he goes in a little bit more detail of who they are. They're the crippled, the lame, the poor. They're on street corners where the messengers get sent, maybe because they don't have a home. And they hear the message of this wedding banquet, and maybe they haven't got a lot of enthusiasm, but they've got a mustard seed of it. What's not to love? And they show up. They show up. They say yes to the king's invitation. They're not even morally good. The story says they're the good and the bad, but they all say yes. What makes you more fired up? Here's a picture, Jonathan, if you've got it, of another phrase for fired up or lively or enthusiastic. Jonathan, should you be really showing a picture of a casino in church? Well, it's a picture of what it means to invest everything on a step of faith, in this case, a gamble. This is what Jesus's passion looks like. Jesus on the cross is God all in, 100%. This is the king inviting anyone, that's what he says to the messengers, invite anyone to come in and share with me the God of hospitality who is all in for anyone with no other qualification other than they say yes. I'm going to ask you in a moment, any one thing that makes you like that? But here's one thing that's true for me. Once upon a time, a long time ago, when we used to do normal services twice every Sunday in here, this is what I and others would pray. Lord God, save us from going through the motions. In other words, save us from doing just the same old thing. Well, COVID's got a lot of bad stuff about it. It's caused a lot of suffering. Maybe you have been at the heart of it, caused a lot of loss. But here's one good thing that God's done for me, maybe for you. He has made me become more desperate for him. He's taken away some stuff that I no longer take for granted. I need more than ever, maybe you do too, wisdom because I'm doing stuff I've never done before. I need guidance because I've no idea what the future holds. Maybe you don't either. I need his peace more than ever because there's a lot to worry about. Maybe you've got that too. I've got what a writer, A.W. Tozer, called a vacuum of desire. That's not because I'm virtuous. It's just because I'm desperate. A vacuum of desire for the Holy Spirit to come into. That's enough. That's enough. The more poor I am, the more the Holy Spirit makes me want to be all in and receive the all-inness of Jesus. Maybe it's a difficult question, but what comes to you? You can think it or say it out loud. What fires you up and makes you more all in for Jesus? What did you say, Mike? Sorry.
A sense of adventure.
A sense of adventure. Thanks. A sense of need. Sense of gratitude. Thanks. Sorry, Gerline. A need of longing. In you. Yeah. The king at the wedding, as hosts would do in the first century in the Middle East, offers all the guests out of his own pocket wedding clothes, especially those who can't afford their own. And finally, it's a picture of how the king of hospitality, says to all who just turn up, this wedding is meant to change you. The clothes are a sign of the righteousness of God, the amazing grace of God, the hospitality of God, that the Holy Spirit, as it were, wants to clothe us with so that they grow on us. So we give it away. So we live with a sense of longing, with a sense of gratitude, with a sense of adventure, with a sense of a vacuum of desire, however you put it, whatever it is, growing in us. This longing that's more and more an echo of the same longing the Father heart of God has, not reflected one iota in the chief priests and elders Jesus is talking to, but rather in the poor who the servants find on the street corners. So we're going to finish this service with this prayer, which is the one, I'm going to suggest, the one characteristic Jesus wants to give me and you every day. May I never lose the wonder, just the wonder, the breathtakingness, the wholeheartedness, the all-in-ness that Jesus has for you and for me. And the sign that Jesus has given that after we've heard this song, which you can make your prayer over you, is the beautiful sign of the bread and in normal times the wine as well, which we imagine. But we are going to take the bread, which Jenny is going to lead us in a prayer for and then going to bring to us where we sit, if you'd like, to receive it. We're receiving in this sign the all-in-ness of Jesus. Jesus who went all in for you and for me on a cross. And by taking it, we're saying, I don't want to be like those who just say, really? Oh, yeah, okay. But that we capture afresh, every day afresh, the wonder. The wonder in our hurried and harried lives, in our stressed and stretched lives, in all the lives where we're distracted and torn this way and other as part of the spiritual battle, captured afresh by the wonder of God's mercy. Abby and Michael, would you like to just come behind me? Father God, we are sorry that in our lives we are drawn away from you by so many different things, some of them the sin in our souls, some of the circumstances which afflict us, sometimes the expectations or discouragements put upon us by others. Jesus, thank you that you are the hospitable King of amazing grace and hospitality. You always invite us back. You invite us back to yourself. You invite us into your presence and into your joy, into your power, into your peace. May we never lose the wonder of this mercy. Amen.